This episode of TMS brought to you by Squarespace. At squarespace.com, build a beautiful website without any knowledge. Well, you need to click around and stuff, but that's basically it. Incredible templates, amazing design, all for you at squarespace.com. Use morning at checkout and get 10% off your account. That's right now at squarespace.com with the code morning. Go to Squarespace and build it beautiful. Coming up on TMS, you don't get second chances.
Fox got him out of the fire.
Everyone is a loser on Jeopardy.
Oh, Pee-wee is back.
Do not eat that snow.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hey, Billy. Want to go to space? Have a frosted orb, you little dipshit.
You lose when you're caught.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Wednesday, the 20th of January, 2016. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Why, hello, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
Oh, that's great. You sound better than you did yesterday.
I feel better than I did yesterday.
Well, that's good.
At the end of every cold, I get the the tombstone. The hallmark of every cold I get ends with a cold sore. Herpes, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm one of the lucky few who get who have the old herp.
Kim gets the old herp.
The old herp.
Kim, blah, can't talk. Herpster. My wife. Herpster is a bad disease. My wife gets those, but not with cold. She gets them when something stressful is coming. And she rarely stresses anyway. She's a pretty chill person. But when it comes to, like, she has a big thing coming up, or she has to be in front of a bunch of people, or whatever the stressful thing is.
Right.
Suddenly, she'll get a major, just massive, like, Zerg level cold sore.
Yeah,
she
hates that's what it. I get too. Only at the end of a cold, though. It's weird that what triggers it is different than for different people.
But. Yeah, and Nick, before puberty, he used to get them like every week, and now he doesn't get them at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, the puberty kicked in and knocked it right out of him. Yeah,
jeez.
Some good puberty.
Puberty.
I knew a kid on our old neighborhood, or two old neighborhoods ago, who had a peanut allergy so fierce that all he had to do was have peanut like in the air, like the smell of peanuts would put him into anaphylactic shock and you have to take him to the hospital. It was so bad. Kid hits puberty, turns 16 roughly or so, can eat peanuts no problem now. Just peanuts. So there's something about that change, man.
I guess so, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting that the weird. Puberty has an effect on that, too.
Apparently. Weird. Yeah, it doesn't just make you harny.
And hairy.
And ready for action.
Harny and hairy.
It makes you, less cold sore prone and have less peanut problems. So.
Interesting.
All right. Well, it hits the show. We're here to do it, and there's zero you can do about it. I don't know if you heard yesterday or not, but Sarah Palin, Alaska's own Sarah Palin.
Right.
She officially endorsed Donald J. Trump for president.
Which is no big surprise.
No. No,
they're
not
kind
at
of
all.
Cut from the same cloth. It's
a little bit.
Let's make all these brash statements that get all the hornets all riled up, even though we know there's no way we can kind of fulfill any of those promises.
My favorite video of her ever is when she was still governor of Alaska, and they were interviewing her for a local news thing, and she was at a chicken slaughter farm or something, talking about, I don't even know what, but the camera's on her, and behind her is a bunch of this apparatus and chickens everywhere, and this farmer guy is shoving a live chicken into like a grinding machine.
Oh my God.
It's a fantastic video. Someone in the chat will surely bring it up. It's great. And you get to see someone slaughter a chicken right behind.
Wow.
Sarah Palin. Yeah. But again, you're right.
Fabulous.
There's no big shock to her doing it. I mean, first of all, I don't know why we care who she endorses. I guess it matters to somebody, but apparently it does. And she endorsed him in what looked like my high school gym. So that was nice.
Yes, in Ames, Iowa.
It was real fancy.
Yeah.
That's fine. But look, I don't think everything needs to be a big fancy CNN stage with a lot of lights and Wolf Blitzer.
Sure.
I get it. You know, we want to take it to the homeland And I get it, but it just seemed a little dank, and like a blanket behind them or something on a bar. It looked real cheap for a Trump thing. It seemed awful cheap, and not in cheap Trump ways. Like, right. Not everything needs to be made out of brass and gold either, but
gold and white marble.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a little odd. In a very different, well, not, I'm sorry, not very different, in a not too different world, he'd still be doing The Apprentice, and Sarah Palin would easily be a contestant on that show.
Yeah, wasn't his daughter on there, or her daughter on there, I thought?
Was she really?
I thought one of the Palin kids was on that show. Maybe I have that. I may have construed that with somebody else.
Well, they both are so tied into reality shows, like her daughter and, of course, Trump.
That deadbeat dad guy that the daughter was. Was she married to him?
Trigger.
Really?
Trig. She has a son named Trig.
Trig?
Trig. And you're, Track.
Trig and Track? And they were making fun of Mitt Romney for his name?
They were making fun of Mitt Romney? Really?
Yeah, everyone made fun of Mitt. Because the name Mitt is weird. It is weird. I mean, I admit it's unusual, but people were That's always hilarious. Like, what the hell is that? And the rest of the brothers are all like... Splim and Flurp and things like right. that.
So, there's Bristol is the daughter.
Yeah.
And then there's Trig, Piper, Willow, and Track.
Track?
And then Come grandchildren on. Are Sailor and Trip.
All right. So here's my theory, though. I got a little conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
About Palin endorsing Trump publicly like that. I think this is her way of getting a second vice president run. I think she's hoping. I'm not saying she'll get it. I don't think Trump wants to. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think he wants nothing to do with it. He right. had the face of a, I really don't like you face.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, hey, this is great, sure.
I'm getting some hometown love here because we got Sarah Palin endorsing me, you know, don't you know? Like, that's kind of what she's doing there.
Right.
But
right.
you can see. Folksy. Yeah, you could see in his face, though. He was like, oh, shit.
So they interviewed him today on the Today Show. This morning they had him like do a phone-in thing, talk to Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first questions they asked. They said, you know, do you think she's trying to stick her foot in the door for a VP bid?
Yeah.
And he says, you know, she never brought that up to me. She's a very nice person. I really, appreciate her. But big fan of Sarah Palin. Getting her endorsements, really good. She never once brought up VP. We never discussed it. Big fan. She's a good person. She's huge.
We can't do 4 minimum years of that. We can't. Because that
Could
you just,
imagine? You're like the two of them combined.
We can't do it. I mean, listen, I'm going to be very pragmatic with what I'm about to say. I believe, now I'm going to get some heat from my lefty friends, okay? But I believe that most of the time, whoever you bring in, they are, because of the way the system runs, they are automatically sort of mushed toward the middle anyway. Even right. Donald Trump would have to be mushed toward the middle. There are no switches to flip to make Apple start building their computers and stuff or crap or whatever he said in the States. Excuse me, they're damn computers and things, is how we put it.
Computers, that's my favorite store, by the way.
Exactly. There's no, that wall he keeps talking about, BS. Like, he's going to come he's going to gravitate toward the middle because they all freaking have to, no matter how extreme left or right they are. That's the way it goes. So, my pragmatic view is, that is what would happen. But every time he'd open his mouth on a press conference or anything, we'd all want to shoot heroin into our eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't listen to that.
It'd all be that same... You know, talking in supposed accepted absolutes. Like,
Mr. President, President Trump, did you meet with the Chinese Prime Minister today? Oh, it was great. I really like him. We had a great time. It was huge. It was huge. Like, come on. Like,
he's got, low energy, not a fan.
I don't even like Chinese food. I never serve Chinese buffets at any of my hotels and casinos, which have been very successful.
And China's already acknowledged that I'm probably the best president that America's ever had. It's like these things where, like, let me really quickly rush past the thing that I'm saying that I want you all to believe.
Yeah.
And then it's like a magic act, right? Yeah. It's like nothing in this hand, nothing in this hand. Oh, here's the bunny.
Yep.
But you're so busy looking for the bunny that you don't, you miss some of these, like, the Republican Party has all but pretty much given me their nomination. And
it's such a, in a way, he's like the Tony Robbins of a-holes. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's such positive, supportive talk to himself. It's just so weird. Right. Well, yes. Anyway, so my point is this. I believe we would have had a President John McCain had he not chosen Palin as his running mate.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. I think John McCain had a chance to win that, and she really drug that thing down. She was a big, weird old weight on the on his campaign. Now
that Ed Harris, Julianne Moore HBO movie certainly made it seem like that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I assume some of that's based in some reality.
Right,
I hope.
Right.
But
if you,
you
believe
know.
That video, if you believe that movie, then Sarah Palin was basically foisted on McCain.
Yeah, and it may have been because, you know, I mean, she had a there was a rising star element to what she, was going on with her. There was grassroots Tea Party business happening, and she seemed like a good pick. I'm not even really faulting him for ultimately making that decision. But when you put up the two vice presidential candidates, Biden, who kind of drives me nuts, too. You're taking Biden over Palin, dude.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It didn't do him any favors is all I'm saying. So
no. And she would do the same thing. She'd sink Trump's campaign like a rock.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
and
maybe they'd go even. But if he listen, if you heard his interview and he was talking like that, I think that seals the deal. There's no way he's going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, what is he when he says she didn't bring it up? We didn't talk. It doesn't mean that he's open to it.
Right.
It Yeah.
And they asked him that. Would you be open to Sarah Palin as a running mate? Oh, I'm not even thinking about VP right now. I just want to win in Iowa and just want to win my party's nomination and stuff. Bull crap.
Yeah, you liar.
You're thinking about a VP.
Of course you are. You all are. Like, you have to.
you don't go into making Star Wars without thinking about how you're going to do the sequel.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like,
you don't.
It's like saying, I drank 3 gallons of water. I'm not even thinking about when I'm going to have to urinate. I'm just looking
exactly.
forward to the day. Like, no, you have
I'm
to
just
pee.
Get on a plane that doesn't have a bathroom. It's fine. I'm a big fan of planes.
Omaha Steaks. I serve it at all my casinos.
This is actually more what it sounded like.
Hold on. All right. What do you got there? You got a little prop? Oh, look at this.
Well, Matt, I talked to Sarah Palin yesterday, and she endorsed me. She's a great person. I'm a big fan. Would have had her on the instance. Not the instance. The what's the name of my show? The internship? I don't know. I'm a big fan of that show.
I'd talk to him on the instance.
The Apprentice?
Come on the instance. Let's talk about World of Warcraft. Let's talk about Legion.
What?
I would have him on there.
It's weird that he couldn't think of his own show, The Apprentice.
The Instance. That's amazing. Well, anyway, there's your Trump update for the day. Nice and even-handed, balanced news coverage of the race to the White House. Also, it looks like Bernie Sanders is eating Hillary Clinton's lunch right now.
Right? Yeah.
She's having a hard time up there. I don't know. Should I be surprised? I still feel like crazy uncle's in the room when he's up talking. It's hard for me.
I do too.
It's like, all right, are we really going to get Keith David? Not Keith David. David, who's the Curb Your Enthusiasm guy?
Larry David.
Are we really going to get Larry David in the White House? Because that's who he is.
I think he's got a pretty, pretty, pretty good chance of making it. And yes, E. David, see, there is a little bit of John McClane in my... My Trump.
Yeah, a little bit.
We'll have a few laughs.
Bring me those detonators. All right. It's time for what? A tradition here on the show that may be undergoing some changes. And I'm going to play it now, which is this theme here right now. It's Stump a Trick Nerd, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where today, finally, after last week's surprise illness, you'll get to hear the David Bowie tribute. Yeah, I know. It's old news, right? David Bowie passing away, and we've moved on to, sadly, other dead musicians. But no, David Bowie still gets a tribute show, and it's coming up today, 1 p.m., right here at coverville.com/live.
Aw, sounds great.
Yes.
Good time for
finally.
Everybody. Yeah, finally.
A show weeks in the making.
Listen, when... You and I grew up as kids during a time where it took 8 to 12 weeks to get anything from a catalog to come to your house.
Right. See, so
a week?
What's a week?
Let's be reminded of the days gone past, yesteryear, days of yore, when things took longer. Okay. All right. Daryl, are you there?
I hope I am.
Go good. Daryl's here. He's the Trek nerd, going to come on the show and answer a hard trivia question about Star Trek. I forgot. I meant to ask you yesterday, and I totally spaced it. But you, because you keep bringing it up and saying, oh, I meant to mention it on the show, and then we never get around to it. Have we brought up the fact of how much you really enjoyed Man in the High Castle? Have we talked about that?
Oh, I don't think we have.
Yeah. You really, like, you were like, whoa, this is, like, the best show ever. Why is it? Like, you were all upset it wasn't nominated for a bunch of Golden Globes, and I had to remind you that it missed the cutoff date for...
Yeah, we need Golden Globes, Emmys, and awards, and Oscars. Given an Oscar anyway, even though it's not a movie.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's amazing. It's still probably my show of the year.
Mm-hmm. Did you, so good.
Yeah. Did you any other thoughts on that? I you know, you're an aficionado of science fiction and these sorts of things. Did you enjoy? Tell me what you liked.
Science fictionado is what you are.
Yeah, you're a science fictionado. You're a big baked potato. You're an avocado.
Fictionado.
Aw, Eagles.
Yeah.
Aw.
That's how I worked that one in.
Yeah, I like that. I forgot about that song. That was one I meant to mention yesterday, and I couldn't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. What do you think there, Daryl? Give us your review.
I like the idea of what if one thing just went slightly different and everything turned out completely insane.
Do you subscribe to the idea that we might be involved in multiple universes and they're all branching out from every decision we make? Like,
no, I think that's all silly. Okay. I don't believe that this show is based on any kind of reality at all, but I love it anyway.
Let me give you a taste of my theory. In the theory that I have, or that I'm expressing, I'm not the one that I hold necessarily, I could either play this clip,
what?
And that sets a whole new chain of events for the rest of the time.
People are gonna die now.
Or I could
butterfly effect.
Or I could go
chicken shit
butterfly
money.
Effect.
Yeah. Well, or I could play whatever, and that my decision to do one or the other has all these consequences. You don't think that's a thing.
I don't think they all exist in the and we live in a certain one. I think what we have is what we have.
Okay. Does that color your opinion of the new Star Trek movies, because they basically play on that idea that somebody came and put them on a new path?
Oh, I try to just ignore that part of it.
Okay. I like that you're ignoring the biggest part of it. the one thing, the giant pink yellow elephant in the room of Star Wars.
I wish it wasn't that way, but it is, so try to enjoy it anyway.
Yeah, live with what you know what? That's a damn good attitude. I like it. A quick follow-up to yesterday's back and forth with Jury about trolly people on the internet.
Yeah.
Which I think was a great conversation. If you missed yesterday's show, y'all should check it out. It was good. It was funny, but also, you know, it's like they often are. Lots of good information in there. I was talking to Liam O'Brien, friend of the program, voice actor extraordinaire, who often will hear the show and then send me feedback like, oh yeah, I heard today's show and this and that. And Tuesdays are often a big topic for him. And he made a point that I always need to remember this. Like 90% of that kind of stuff online represents people who will never tell you this, but are somewhere in the 13 to 16, maybe 17-year-old range. They haven't hit life yet. There's a lot of absentee fatherism going on out there. There's a lot of reasons why they're raging online. And in the next 5, 6, 7 years, I think I suggested this, most of them will grow out of that. They will realize life's different than just railing on people for no reason and watching the world burn. They'll realize that life is more than that. They'll stop doing that. They'll mature out of it. There'll be a whole new generation that will come in and be buttholes. And we just have to remember that that's what's on the other side of this. Lots of times, not always, sometimes there are real creepy jerks that are like, you know, 48 and hiding in the basement and saying terrible things.
Right.
And have, you know, they're wolves in sheep's clothing kind of thing. Sure, those exist. But because of the anonymity of it all, because we can't see it, it's so easy to get worked up about it. And then later you find out, and this has happened to me a few times, you find out somebody who is really railing, you're like, oh my gosh, look at his Facebook page. He's 14 or something. Like, how am I taking this seriously? And B, poor kid. Mm-hmm. How'd you get that attitude? Where are your parents? Anyway, just a little follow-up there. Daryl? Let's get to your question.
Daryl.
In the Next Generation, oh my gosh, shocking. Next Generation episode, The Arsenal of Freedom.
We know what Ice Worm's watching.
Yeah. The Arsehole of Freedom. Sorry, Arsenal of Freedom. Dear Dr. Crusher. Dear Dr. Crusher becomes injured on Te Planet Minos. It says Te Planet Minos. I think he meant that. Picard has to help her with her wounds. She tells Picard of a time when her and her grandmother were helping a survivor of a disaster, I guess he means. He's written this one.
Or survivors, yeah.
Yeah. What planet does Crusher say her and her grandmother were on? Was it Gemma 4? Was it Solaris 5? Was it Moab 4? That's where Brian and I have to
meet.
Yeah, in Utah. Or Arvada 3.
Oh, we're getting all references. Where's Seattle here?
Seattle, right, exactly. 0. So we got Gemma, Solaris, Moab, or Arvada.
Is it Solaris or Solais?
Oh, is it
that
Solais?
Just a typo? S-O-L-A-I-S.
Oh, I was putting the R in there, so maybe you're right. Maybe it's Solais 4. Gemma, Solais. That's probably
okay.
It.
Okay.
Gemma, Solais, Moab, or Arvada, with numbers after them. In the Roman numeral tradition. So those are your options. I want you to think about those hard and heavy while I play this for you. Today in Star Trek history.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that. Back on this day in 1994, the Voyager theme and the first episode's music score is recorded.
Oh, that's one of my favorite. I've said it on the show, made a very big point that it's my, I think, possibly my favorite Star Trek theme. I mean, I know the other ones are very iconic and, you know, Next Generation is, you know, you hear that and you go, Star Trek, and it's just easy to do. But there's something about that Voyager theme that gets me going.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is. I like it. Meep, meep, meep. Right? Is that the one?
It is a good one.
Boom,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I like Deep Space Nine, but I got to say, I do really like the Voyager theme.
I can't do it right. All right. So
well executed, sir.
Thank you very much. Let's do that. Oh, Jay Calhoun in the chat room hates the Voyager theme a lot, he says.
Wow.
How can you hate it?
Jeez, Jay Calhoun.
How could you hate
it's
that
a little,
theme?
A little heavy, don't you think? A little heavy handed.
Sheesh. Hate is a strong word. Mm-hmm. All right, Daryl. Back to your deal here. We don't have any food to test and haven't for a while. So apparently there's some weird Australian things coming.
Excited
can't wait about
for that.
Yeah, but if people are interested in submitting strange regional delights and you don't know how, it's real simple. Just email us. Put food or food segment in your subject or somewhere in your email, because that's how I search these out, and send them to themorningstream@gmail.com. And let's just let us know what you got, and we'll get you the right addresses. And boom, Tom's your uncle. All right.
Cool. Is he really?
No. Oh. Well,
I'd like Tom as an uncle.
That'd be all right. Uncle Tom? Well,
yeah. That's not what
he
I meant.
He probably has a cabin, too.
He probably has a cabin and is weirdly racist and all that. All right. So there's your options. The Gemma, the Solais, the Moab, and the Arvada. What does your gut say?
Oh, let's see. I don't really remember little silly things like this. Mm-hmm. I remember the whole episode, and it had the flying footballs with the ray gun thing on them.
That is correct. By the way, season one is the season, in case you, if that helps at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. And it was the guy from Ghost that was in the subway or something.
Right.
Yeah.
He died recently.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Schiavelli? Vincent Schiavelli? Is that
sounds
right.
I think that's right. Yeah. I always want to get
Schiavelli.
I always want to get him confused with the guy in Alien with the big nose that died, also played Kramer on Seinfeld when they had the TV show.
The alternative Kramer, yeah.
Yeah, the alternate Kramer. I always get those two guys mixed up for no reason I can explain, except that they're tall and have big noses, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real tall. I got a big nose.
One has a lot of hair. One doesn't have much hair at all.
Yeah, so why do I confuse them? I don't know. And who else I get mixed up is the guy from Big Love.
Bill Paxton?
No, the guy that was the head of the sect, the old man.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton. I get him mixed up with alternate Kramer all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why. Wow. Just
There's
I see
like
them.
A 30-year age difference between.
I know. They couldn't even be. And I don't even think they're in the same universe as far as that goes, but I just mix them up. I can't help it. Anyway. Right. Yeah, we know Harry Dean Stanton wasn't TV Kramer. We're not saying he was. I'm saying I mixed them up.
No, but what a great casting that would have been if he came in and played Kramer's dad.
Oh, it would have been great, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My gosh, that would have been great. But he's apparently kind of a pain in the butt.
Harry Dean Stanton?
Yeah, he's a grumpy old cuss. He just doesn't like anyone. Anyway, sorry.
Working with David Lynch for Nicolas Cage one.
Lost Highway? No.
No, it was the other one. It was the one with Nicolas Cage and
Burnt Toast. Ellen Rickman.
Not Alan. Ellen. Tudor. Oh my God! Why can't I remember? True Romance. No, not True Romance. Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart. Right.
Yes. Yeah, that was a crazy ass movie.
Hey, you want to hear a joke?
Sure.
How do in the Serenity universe? Okay. How do Reavers keep their spears clean?
They wash them.
They run them through the wash.
That's even better. Even better.
Yeah, they run them through the wash, everyone.
Did you just come up with
that? No, I heard it yesterday. In fact, I want to say that Mal, what's his name? I can't think of the actor all of a sudden.
Nathan Fillion.
I believe he told it at a Comic-Con or something. With Alan Tudyk sitting next to him.
Nice. Oh, probably promoting Con Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. That's a good point. Alan Tudyk, voice of the iRobot. Mm-hmm. And he hits the table and goes, "I did not murder that man." You guys remember that? Anyway, doesn't matter. Go see iRobot again.
I don't.
Daryl, go ahead and...
You've given him enough time to think about this.
Yeah. I could go 10 more different directions with this, but I'm going to stop. Which do you think it is?
Oh, I think I'm ready anyway, right or wrong. What was the first one?
Gemma 4.
Gemma 4.
G-E-M-A.
Oh,
G-E-M-A.
I think Moab and Arpad are just thrown in there as space fillers.
Space fillers.
Or maybe one of them's right. And
I just like space fillers.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Filling space.
Yep. Aren't we all doing that to some degree? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's Solaris. I think it is Soleus. And I seem way back in my brain, I remember Crusher saying that and thinking, that is a weird name. It's not Solaris. Mm-hmm. It's not something else.
It's Solaris, weird. Yeah.
Soleus, yeah.
Soleus.
So I think I'm going to choose that.
All right, Soleus 5, he says. Let's find out if he's right. Is he? It is incorrect. The answer is D, Arvada 3.
Oh, shoot.
This is from season
1.
Right
up on the foothills.
I've been tricked.
Sounds like a new subdivision or something.
That's right.
She says her grandmother and her treated survivors on Arvada 3. Crusher said her grandmother learned all about the curative herbs and taught them to her. Here
quote
you go.
Quote-unquote herbs.
Yeah, right.
Your grandmother was a doctor?
No.
Oh, she was a botanist then?
No. She helped to colonize Arvada 3.
Arvada 3?
Picard in another room for that first part?
Did she survive?
Yes. Once the medical supplies had run out, she had to use what was at hand. So she learned all about roots and herbs. And then taught it to me.
Sounds like she's really drifting out there.
Or she must be hurt and Picard's treating her.
She's injured and he's gathering.
Oh, so she's
up.
Injured. He's out grabbing. That's why he sounded like he was in another room. He's over grabbing
some dank
herbs
weed.
Yeah.
He found
look
some
for a plant with three leaves on it.
No, she didn't say Arvada 3. She said Alveda 3.
Arvada.
She said Arvada. So it's the same word, just pronounced
Let's
differently.
Let's hear it again. Can we hear it again?
Yeah, we can hear it again. Hold on. I got to click the deal. Here.
Your grandmother was a doctor?
No.
Oh, she was a botanist then?
No. She helped to colonize Arvada 3.
Arvada 3.
Arvada 3. I definitely hear an R.
Yeah. So, so we were saying it. I'm sure that's why he did this, so that we'd say Arvada.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to start a fight here.
Or Moabe. Now Mobe. I question. Now, yeah, Mobe.
Mobe 4.
All right. Well, good job anyway. Not getting it, I guess. Tomorrow, it'll be a time of reflection. As you try again, you make another attempt, a valiant attempt, to solve the mysteries of Thursday. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. He will now play a game with us titled What?
The Mysteries of Thursday. in this episode, Spock's Brain, Kara steals Spock's brain.
Yeah.
Okay, play your little thing.
All right.
Okay, is she Morg or I Morg?
Morg or I Morg?
Yeah, these are all this week is TOS questions because Ice Worm doesn't ask them.
All right.
As in a race, like as in, like is her race Morg or I Morg?
I'm not giving. I don't know what I'm asking.
Okay.
I'm asking Morg or I Morg.
Did she take his bicycle is what I want to know.
Yeah. somebody on Twitter clarified that bike story, and now I don't remember what they said. Crap. I was too
blinded. I'll say race then.
Okay, race. All right.
All right. Neither one sounds familiar to me.
I Morg.
Morg or I Morg?
When the walls fell.
When my raid fell, yeah. It was Morg. or it was I, Morg.
It was I.
Could have been either one. I'm Morg. Would he ask if it was I'm Morg? Like,
no.
I mean, if it wasn't I'm Morg, I mean, you know, like.
How would that a question? I mean, How would you even say it? Would you say, I am I Morg? Or I am Morg?
Right. I think I Morg. That's what I'm leaning towards.
All right. We say I Morg. Why not? Caution to the wind.
Okay. Her exact quote is something like, are you Morg or I Morg?
So it's both?
And,
right.
That's not the answer.
Okay.
The answer is, the I-Morg were the upper-class race living underground.
Oh,
and
really?
The Morg were above-ground savage hobos. It was
so the Eloy and the Morlocks, kind of.
Yeah. Was the I-Morg.
They were savage hobos.
Savage hobos.
That sounds...
She was an I-Morg.
Okay. So she
was
lived
upper-class.
She lived underground or above-ground?
Underground.
And those are the upper-class. Weird. That's a flip from what usually happens in these things.
Right.
Yeah.
And the it's a savage hobo. I've never heard that phrase in my
savage
life.
Savage hobo.
There are many savage hobos above the ground. Stay here, honey. All right, here you go.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
it's the news, and it's brought to you by
a new Boop show out and available. All the gaming news you can eat. Frogpants.com/boop.
I put it up last night, and it was a fine episode, and people should go listen to it today. If you like video games, that's all.
Right.
If you don't,
Boop is spelled BOOP, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Body odor overpowered.
Exactly. Overwhelming, should be. Yeah. Jamie Foxx. You know Jamie Foxx with the two X's?
Sure. He played Ray.
Yeah.
Ray Charles.
Yeah. He's also, he's Django. Django.
Mm-hmm.
We must get out of this town now, Django. he's in the news, not for any movies he's doing or any kind of that weird business. He is in it because he rescued a man who was trapped in a burning car.
Wow.
You might call him Burning Car Man. Who says Hollywood stars don't care about real people? Well, me, but Jamie Foxx cared enough to risk his life helping
every day.
To help rescue a stranger trapped in a burning car. It happened Monday at 8:40 p.m. in the Hidden Valley area of Ventura County, only yards from Fox's front gate, according to the Ventura County Fire Department and a blogger who followed the department. The blogger was at the scene, posted an account and pictures on his Facebook. Although the California Highway Patrol reported... I just saw chips in my head when I said that name, California Highway Patrol. A report on the incident did not identify Fox by name. Fox's publicist Allison Garman confirmed the story that hit headlines in California on Tuesday. He got out there,
wow,
tore open the door with his bare hands, and then pulled out the surviving man.
Django pulls people out of burning cars.
Automobile.
Django.
Django.
Won an Oscar for playing Ray Charles.
You rhymed it. That was good.
Took a little work.
That was really good.
A little planning ahead on that one.
Okay. I'm impressed.
Don't be.
No. I was totally impressed. Anyway, good job, I guess. I don't know. You hear about these things sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Would Charlie Sheen have given a shit? No.
Probably not.
No.
He would have lit a cigarette off of the burning car.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care. Winning. And walk away.
My cell phone's in my other pants, or I would have called the paramedics.
Yeah,
sorry.
It would have been fine. Like George Costanza at that point.
Winning.
Business. Winning. George, you've got to get in there. Remember that episode where George couldn't give his pin?
Right, it was Bosco, yeah.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't... it was a burning Bosco. ATM.
Yeah, it was
the Oscar something.
So good. Oh my gosh. I'm a huge fan of the entire Peterman period.
Oh yeah.
I loved Jay Peterman.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're the main four characters, great, but their ancillary cast, their B characters,
yep,
are still fantastic.
So Putty, good. Yep.
And Peterman and
season four or so, you couldn't have Kramer walk into the apartment, or even Newman for that matter, without the audience going crazy and clapping for
right,
him.
Right, yeah.
It is a
weird thing.
Yeah, super weird. But you can feel this energy. There's an energy going on in that
show. Seinfeld is filmed before a live studio audience.
What's the deal?
What's the deal with the live studio audience?
Elaine, did I ever tell you about the time I went to Burma? I freaking love that guy.
Yeah.
I believe that's punishment enough. All right.
it's such great.
It's so good.
Such great sub-characters.
I know. Anybody who doesn't like Seinfeld, I got no room for you in my life.
Judge Reinhold, a close talker.
Yeah, he was great. Everybody. Yeah. All those little side things were great.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw...
Poppy.
I saw Larry David yesterday in an episode watching with the kids.
Well, how's he doing?
He's doing fine. He showed up in... So I always thought he was only ever... I know he co-produced and wrote the thing, right?
Sure.
But I didn't know he was ever shown on camera until I saw him up on a roof saving somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I only thought he did like the voice of like Steinbrenner.
Yeah, Steinbrenner. Yeah, that's all I thought he ever did too. So he actually appears on
camera a couple times, wow. I guess. Someone corrected me online, said no, it's like a few times, but it's you'd never know it. Like he didn't say much or whatever. Well, anyway, let's talk about this now. This is part of Brian's trivia life.
Yes.
All three contestants walk away losers after betting everything on Final Jeopardy.
Losers.
And they got it wrong. This has never happened before, I don't think.
I don't think so. I've never heard about this.
There's no returning winner.
Usually somebody does, you know, the bid, total bid minus $1,
yeah,
you know, to be safe.
Right. And wouldn't you do that? I think you'd do that. I would.
Well, the person in third place should have done that. Like, basically, that's the thing. If even doubling your score won't surpass second place, then you bet just enough to do $1 and hope the other two cancel each other out.
Right. Right. I don't know why they didn't, but it says this.
Because she's a dumbass.
Claudia Correa and Mike Drummond were both returning champs, along with challenger Randy Christensen. Randy with an I.
Mm-hmm.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Randy.
It's his stripper name. managed a three-way tie for last place after finding themselves stumped on the final clue of the night because each of them had bet their entire earnings on the question. They all walked away with a score of $0 after botching their answers, the prompt that proved to be their mutual downfall. A 1957 event led to the creation of a national historic site in this city, signed into law by a president whose library is now there too. Beep, beep. What would you say?
I know the answer because I've seen it, but if I were to guess... I might have said Yorba Linda.
And you would have been...
I would have been wrong.
The answer is Little Rock, Arkansas. The president in question was Bill Clinton. I'm so sorry. It was Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
All of you leave now with nothing.
Well, the answer was Little Rock.
Yeah, Little Rock.
Yeah.
Because
I have audio, by the way. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's that YouTube link on the bottom right.
Of the Skype?
Of our spreadsheet.
Oh, of the spreadsheet.
Of our show notes.
My left clavicle?
Tough one. You guys struggled with this immensely. You said you were going for Springfield, and that would have been incorrect. So you risked and lost everything. You're down to zero. Now let's go to Claudia. She wrote down what is Austin. No. And what did it cost you? Everything. Now we come to Mike Drummond. His response was, what is Atlanta? The correct response is Little Rock, Arkansas. Let's see what Mike lost. 13,800. We have three players finishing with no money. And what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that tomorrow we will have no returning champion. So, sorry, folks. See you tomorrow.
I love his ending.
Too bad for you.
Get the hell out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Exactly.
Craft services is over.
You know how much money you walked in here with? Yeah, it's how much you're leaving with.
Yeah. Oh, those poor people.
Not even any turtle wax or Rice-A-Roni.
That woman on the far right, you're right. If she'd have just bet a dollar, she would have won.
Right, exactly.
She would have had that whole thing, and that would have been something.
Basically, you just let the... if you can't beat either of the first, the top two with a correct answer, if they were to get it, you know, if they were to bet nothing, then you just let them cancel each other out.
Jeez, Jeopardy. Man, that thing lasts forever. It was like the worst. It was like a three turd Fergusons up there.
Give me,
I saw your mother last night, Rebecca.
You know what? As much as I absolutely love Daryl Hammond, it's really a bad Sean Connery. It's funny.
Oh,
it's funny, but it's not accurate
at all.
It's
just so over the top.
Yeah. It's not
which
even
is, which
close.
Which is, I think, what makes it so great.
You want to hear a good one? I was talking about Liam O'Brien earlier. That guy. Yeah. Oh, my
gosh.
Does
he do a good Sean Connery?
Yeah, I'll give you one.
I don't
doubt
it.
You want to hear one? I got
one.
Here's Liam doing Connery. Here it is. This is 11 seconds. There you go.
I suddenly remembered my Charlemagne. Let my armies be the rocks and the trees and the birch in the sky. I should have sent it to the Marx Brothers.
It's pretty good, right?
It's really good.
Yeah, he's good.
It's really good.
That's pretty
good. He's awesome.
They're counting that in their bingo as a Sean Connery impression? I guess it is. It's not me doing it. You ever lose your car keys?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do we have Sean Connery impression in our... Oh, I guess we do. The car keys.
Yeah, you ever lose your car keys?
Listen, Indiana, let it go. The penitent man shall pass.
All right. He also did Bane.
Here come the Ibbot, and he shall appear.
Here's another one.
I am the Frog Pants Network, and I'm here to fulfill Scott Johnson's destiny.
See, it's pretty good.
It is good. I like, you know, and again, we're moving into this era where our bad guys who have stuff over their faces, like Bane and Kylo Ren, sound like they have stuff over their faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's like...
I never figured out, like, if, you know, if Darth Vader actually had, like, a speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a radio.
Like a Bluetooth speaker in his chest.
Yeah, he had like a radio sounding voice.
Right.
But then, yeah, the other guys are like, we don't need the girl. Just bring him. Go find the map. Yeah, it's weird. Here's another one from him with Bane.
It smells like farts under this mask. Seriously.
All right. What else? Let's see here. Netflix. Oh, Netflix. I saw this trailer. I don't know if you've seen it, but Netflix is, they've got a Pee Wee Herman film. They have a date now, and it's called Pee Wee's Big Holiday. It features a bunch of people I've never heard of and Pee Wee Herman. Mm-hmm. It seems to be very Pee Wee Herman.
You haven't heard of these people? Come on now.
Joe Manganiello?
Don't know. Joe Manganiello.
Who's that?
I know you gave up on True Blood. But,
he's in that? Okay.
He was the werewolf dude.
Oh.
Really buff looking dude. He was also in, I want to say, Magic Mike or one of those.
Oh, okay. You know, my wife really liked that guy.
Big muscular dude with big old beard and long dark hair.
He was all right.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to sit and watch a lot of that, so I saw him. I just hated it.
Right.
I hated that show. What a wasted opportunity.
Right. Totally.
Ugh. Yeah. It got so bad. All right. Jessica Pauly. Who's that?
All right. I don't know who Jessica Pauly is. Keep going, though. Keep going. Aaliyah Shawkat. Oh. You know her.
Oh, I do?
She's from Arrested Development. She played Maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's in this. Okay. She looked like... never mind, I'm not going to say it. Next one.
I really want to know.
I can't say it. Stephanie Beatriz. Who's that?
Yes, I believe she's the actress on, and I'm going to check this out. She's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think she plays the tough Latino.
The Latina girl who's always kind of deadpan.
Exactly.
I like her. She's
Rosa
funny.
Diaz, yes, that is her.
Oh, I
She's
like
Argentinian.
Her.
Argentinian.
Okay, I know her. She's good. I do know her.
And
She's...
it's funny because she played, on Modern Family, she played Sofia Vergara's younger sister.
Yeah.
And played a completely, you know, like completely don't speak English.
Major Jumperoo. He played the bird on Lion King.
Nice. Which, that's, come on, you're pandering. Yeah. You're trying. Yeah, all right, I want to see who Jessica Pauly is, though, who's...
that made me laugh.
They're just trying to incite a riot.
I know. Can't help it.
I see pictures of Jessica Pauly, and I guess I still don't know who she is.
Well, there you have it, then. By the way, Tadpool, it's nice to see you folks. There are some people in the Tadpool chatting today. Or, I'm sorry, Tadpool on the Slack. There's some Slack Tadpoolery going on, along with the chat room. So I'm keeping an eye on both now.
She looks like she could play the mom of... what is her name from Parks and Recreation? Oh. Her name sounds like a mall.
Right. Sounds like a mall.
Sounds like a mall.
Twin Pines? I don't know. What is it?
Hold on. Cottonwood? Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, Aubrey Plaza. That's it. That totally sounds like a mall. A new one, a fancy one that's got, like, you know, the fancy stores, and it's all outdoor and airy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aubrey Plaza.
She looks like she could play Aubrey Plaza's mom.
All right. I need to play. Somebody in the Tadpool Slack put up the video of Sarah Palin and the turkey. It was a turkey,
oh,
not a
really?
Chicken.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a Thanksgiving thing. So here you go. I'm going to play this, and we'll see what happens.
I don't think it's changed me at all. I have the same values and convictions and positions and policies. I'm just a greater appreciation, I think, for what other candidates go through. You know, it's pretty brutal, that the time consumption there and the energy that has to be.
Okay, what you can't see is there's a guy standing back there waiting for her to finish. He's got an upside down turkey and, like, this cone looking thing. So it basically, this replaces, like, chopping the turkey's head off. You just put it in this grinder and it goes. Just tears the head off. Yeah, and I'm trying to get to the part
bent
where
in order to get out and about with a message on a national level. Great appreciation for other candidates who have gone through this, but also just a great appreciation for this great country. There are so many good Americans who are just desiring. And it was a blast. Every day was just a blast out there on the trail.
Any other future plans to offer?
Since at $140.
Okay, you can't. You have to see it.
I can kind of hear it in the background.
Yeah, he's just going. The poor turkey.
Oh, no.
It's really great.
Where this is in the Slack?
Yeah, the TMS Slack. They're the TMS
there
fans.
It is right
Slack.
There.
Yeah, you're gonna have to check that out in the song or something. Anyway, Pee Wee Herman movie. That's.
It's really funny. Is Danny Elfman involved? By the way,
I hope. Oh, good question. Doesn't say. That's a great question, if he did the music was still him or not. Wow, I don't know. But
I'm watching this video. It's hilarious. It's like he was just waiting for a good opportunity
to do his job there, yeah.
And the whole, like, oh my God. And the
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh.
It makes me not want a turkey.
Oh, and it's still moving.
Yeah, it's still twitching. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. So there's your deal. Oh, by the way, you can get your this Pee Wee Herman business on March 18th. So
Tender Crisp, Bacon Turkey Ranch.
And that's Paul Rubens and Judd Apatow doing this together. So it's a Judd Apatow joint.
Judd Apatow, which means there'll be fat ladies falling down and people puking.
Yeah, puking, fart jokes, lots of vomiting.
Chest hair being ripped off.
Yeah. What else? It's sexual jokes that really push the limit.
Yes, exactly.
Or not, or none of those things. It could be just nice, clean American fun with Pee-wee Herman. And then finally, this is big news, everyone. It turns out it's unhealthy to eat any snow, not just the pee-pee kind.
Mm.
This is a new study.
So don't just watch out where the Huskies go. Don't you eat that yellow snow.
Right.
Don't eat any snow.
My favorite...
Or John Snow.
My favorite Frank Zappa song ever.
Yes.
Watch out where the Huskies go.
Don't you eat that yellow snow.
Well, it turns out he should have said, don't eat any snow, because a study has found that if you eat any snow, this new finding says that even clean snow, don't do it. It's part of the World Health Organization's report that's being put out next week. It's part of a health emergency. A group of scientists in Canada looked at how snow interacted with the pollutant chemicals that are in the air, And now people are kind of freaking out about it. After just an hour on the ground, natural urban snow had absorbed an unhealthy amount of air pollutants, including, or according to the study, which was published by the Environmental Science Process and Impacts Science Journal. To prove this, researchers mixed toxins commonly found in car exhaust into a freezing chamber of snow, measuring along the way the amount of each chemical as it found its way into the snow. Concentrations of the dangerous pollutants started out at near the detection limit, but by the end of the hour, the level of pollutants had risen enough to conclude that the snow had absorbed them. Ergo, you eat the snow, you're eating the exhaust. Don't do it.
I love that they had to do this by creating a freezing chamber of snow. Couldn't they have just gone where there's snow and measured the snow?
That's what I would have done. I'm no expert. Because
that's the snow people eat. They're not eating snow out of a chamber in a freezing car exhaust chamber.
Hold on, Brian. You don't have your home GE freezing
car
chamber?
Exhaust chamber?
Yeah, you
no,
don't have
I
that.
Don't. Oh. I had that removed because we needed the space.
Get
for a
with the times.
Duflator valve is what we needed, so I had to have that taken out.
A duflator valve?
A duflator valve, yeah.
What the hell is that? That's not a thing, is it?
It's not a thing.
Okay,
no.
All right.
That's a thing that the mechanic will test your knowledge of cars with when you get the hood open. Oh, yeah. Looks like you're going to need a new duflator valve. Yeah. And if
you answer, oh, okay, well, what's that going to cost? Then they're like, yeah, we got them, boys.
We don't have any of those in stock. I'm going to have to special order one from Cambodia.
Oh, shit. That's going to cost you. Don't eat the snow. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And I would have said this anyway without a science study. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it. And when I was a kid, that seemed like a real treat. Like, ooh, fresh snow. I'm going to eat it. But now, no. Not so much.
Right.
We're going to take a break.
Probably eat snow as a kid.
Yeah.
A kid,
did you sure. eat snow when you were a kid?
Sure. I'm sure I did.
Okay. Do you have any
all kids eat snow.
Do you have any memory of eating the snow?
No.
Okay.
No, I think that the toxins probably made that section of my memory black out.
Yeah, that's a good point. new study coming from Brian a bit.
That's right. Yes.
All right. Hey, guess who's sponsoring today's program? That's right, Squarespace.com, the place you go to build an amazing website with very little knowledge about how to build websites. They've done all the hard work for you. You just go there and you pick from amazing templates, mobile designs that look great on desktop and your phone or your tablet. Trying to sell something, trying to push a cool new idea. You need to do it with style. Squarespace.com. Get a free domain too if you sign up for a year. Did you know that? Squarespace.com will save you some money too because you're working with us. Use the code MORNING at checkout at Squarespace.com and save 10% off your account. That's 10% off with the code MORNING at checkout at Squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for us to delve deep and hard into...
Ooh.
I know. Into the world of recommendals. We're going to make a couple of recommendations of our own. Nicole's not here. She had a doctor's appointment this morning that kept her out of the show, but we will do that. Have our fun, and then Tom Merritt will enter the fray and talk to us about what he's up to in the world of technology. Before all of that, music from Brian.
Yeah, so this one comes in from Lois. Hello, Stitch and Beast. I'm requesting a song for all those who grew up on Disney movies, because it's Disney. Mm. Any Disney sing-along song, but nothing from Frozen. I'm sick of Let It Go, as most people who have young kids are, too. I'd love something that pulls that nostalgia string. Mm. Also, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Never. Oh, that's the one they want? Crap. Okay, hold on. I got to have that more handy. Here, yeah. Wait.
I'm too early.
No, that's not the one.
Too early to get a fish sandwich.
No.
I love fish.
No.
I love.
No.
I don't like seeing fish suffer.
Where is it? Oh, here it is.
Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah, apparently it was too early to get a fish
apparently
sandwich.
Apparently it was.
Yeah.
Love the show, Future Mrs. Taffy Guy. So this is Taffy Guy's fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to those two. All right, so a Disney song, Disney sing-along song. Kind of the first place I thought of was a band called Suburban Legends. This is a group that I got to thank Dills for introducing me to a couple of cover-thons ago, when we were doing requests, live requests during an Angry Chicken segment. Mm. And he says, Brian, go get the Suburban Legends album, Dreams Aren't Real, But These Songs Are, Volume 1, which came out in 2013. It's all Disney covers, modern Disney covers. So not your Wish Upon a Star and your It's a Small World, but more of your modern stuff like Little Mermaid.
Like
and,
Little Mermaid Hercules. Forward, because that Little Mermaid Forward seems like a different era, doesn't it?
It does. It totally does.
Yeah.
Part of that is a cover here of Beauty and the Beast, Sing Along and Rock Out with Suburban Legends Punk Band and their cover of Beauty and the Beast.
Tale as old as time, true as it can be. Barely even friends, and somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least, both a little scared.
My name is not important, but what I'm about to say is very important.
Kids, it's free.
Oh, Internet, is there nothing you can't do? This is The Morning Stream.
What?
I'm back. Hello, I'm back. So is Brian.
Uh-huh. Went and visited the Slack during the break, as you did.
Yeah, it's lovely in there.
A little visit to the Slack.
There's a very active bunch of people in there.
Yeah, there is.
The only worry I have, I mean, this is a Patreon benefit, right? Like, if you join up on Patreon, thank you everyone who has, you get access to that thing. And you can hang out there and talk and meet friends and, you know.
Great discussions going on there. Lots of topics. There's a Vegas. I love the fact that there's a Vegas room. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's absolutely a Vegas room.
Yeah.
It's all about, I mean, you clearly have inspired a Vegas room, which is, how many people can claim that in their
right.
lives.
Right.
So all of that, you know, there's gamers, there's a gamers room, there's a tab pool room, there's a place to collect stories for this show. Like, it's a super cool place to hang out. And my only worry with any of it is I don't, you know, we have that group on Facebook. I hope they don't feel weird. A lot of them are in there. Mm-hmm. But I don't want them to feel like we forgot
about
them.
You can be in both. And you know, there's some people who haven't took the plunge and just donate a little money to our Patreon. And therefore, they can still get access to, like, the Tadpool Facebook group. But there's a lot more live stuff and instant chat, instant stuff going on.
Instant gratification, I'd like to say.
Right, exactly.
That's how I like to put it. Let's dig deep into some recommendals. Nicole is not here, but we are, and usually this plays, which means time for recommendals. And we decided today, since Nicole's not here, we would not do the theme that we picked last week. Instead, Brian and I would just talk about stuff we're into at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I brought a clip, so I'm gonna go first just because I have a clip.
Sure, sure.
And you're gonna know this because you're the reason we started, Kim and I. But we're glad we did because I really kind of love what it is and I'm surprised how much I like it.
I can't wait to hear this.
So it's weird how it scratches a very specific itch for me and her, and they're two totally different itches. So I'll play it and then see if people can figure it out. So this is on Netflix. It's also available elsewhere, but this is where we're getting it. Here you go.
The theme for today is, this is not a candy machine, people.
Apparently there's been a problem with shrinkage.
No, not apparently.
There's been a problem with shrinkage. And frankly, any shrinkage makes us all look bad, even if it's just Imodium.
And it's never just the Imodium, people.
All right. You know
what this is. It's funny because I don't recognize that, even though you're saying that I had an influence in.
You absolutely did. So it's an obscure scene, and I will admit to editing out a person's name that would have given it away.
Okay.
The person who kept interrupting would then introduce the person who would then say things, and then by name, and you would have gotten it. But it's Nurse
it's
Jackie.
Like Jackie. Okay, it is Nurse Jackie. That was Acolytus talking?
Yep.
Okay.
And the hospital administrator. We're only a few episodes in, but that is a charming, wonderful, weird show.
It really is. Your total anti-hero.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect. Honestly, I kind of thought it was going to be darker, and it's much lighter than it is that I thought. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought the fears I had were that either it was going to be a little dark and a little mean or something, and I'm not really into that. Or it was going to be way too on Kim's side, which is, you know, Grey's Anatomy level bullcrap, that sort of thing. Turns out it's just enough of those two things, plus a weird bunch of surprises in the middle, that it's totally working for us. It's really fun. It's like a really great little show.
It's a great cast, too.
Yeah, the cast is amazing. The girl that's trying to be the nurse, she's like the student.
Merritt Weaver.
She's incredible.
She is probably, and I think she's the best character and actress on that show. I mean, well, maybe not actress, but best character on that show.
Well, I'll give
such
her
a well thought out and fleshed out character.
Yeah. She ever get nominated for anything? She should have.
She, I think, did. And I think, I can't remember if it was for this, though. But she's been on a bunch of stuff. She was on, she's in Birdman. She was on Big Bang, not Big Bang Theory, New Girl. She was a Schmidt's girlfriend for a little while.
It just has like a, I don't know, there's a combination of, this is the point I think, but it's there's this combination of kind of sweetness and goodness and then mixed with poor behavior.
Right.
Like it's just very
nurses
hard.
Nurses behaving badly.
Yeah, it's very hard
a nurse behaving badly.
It's very hard to pinpoint what's there, what's why it's working, but it's real good and I like it. It's not for the kids, everyone. So don't have the kids watch it, but it's good. It's a Showtime gig, and Edie Falco's amazing as always. She can kind of do no wrong, really.
Right.
And
yeah, she was apparently she was on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip too. The girl, Merritt Weaver. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, she's great in it.
Oh, well, of course, she's currently on The Walking Dead. I forgot that too. She plays a nurse.
Yeah. And I'll just put a. Oh, really?
Uh huh.
Currently.
Currently.
Oh, I have not. I'm not caught up, so I have not seen. I'm like three seasons behind on that show. I don't know why.
I don't know why either. I really still enjoy that show a lot.
Well,
and
it's up my alley. I don't know what my problem is. Mm-hmm. I just need to catch up, I guess.
Yeah.
Jury doesn't watch anymore. He hates it. He doesn't like it at all.
Wow.
Yeah, remember that? He was like all big
on
it.
Yeah, he was. He was like all over it for a while, and then just it just pissed him off.
So there it is. Showtime's Nurse Jackie, available on Netflix in a number of seasons. I don't know if it's all of them or not. I know it's over now, right? That show ended? I think
so. Yes, it just ended, I think, last year, maybe?
Yeah, it sounds right. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's real good. And I'm glad I'm watching it. All right, Brian, what do you currently have your head in?
Well, it's good that that you took something that I recommended, because I'm going to talk about something that you recommended that Tina and I are absolutely loving, which is The Great British Bake Off.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, my God, I love this show.
You get so hooked into it. It's so hard to even describe why it's great, isn't it?
I even made cupcakes last night with a lime mascarpone frosting because of that damn British Bake Off show.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
I wish more reality shows were like it.
Yes,
And by that I mean a little less mean and
it's so positive.
Yeah.
There's none of that whole like that music that they play in Hell's Kitchen and stuff like that. And nobody walks in and basically says, you know, I'm basically going to take this thing to the end, and I'm gonna, you know, kick everybody's ass, and I didn't come here to make friends. No, everybody there looks like they came there to make friends.
Yeah, make friends and bake really good things, and then and have real professional criticism that is sometimes harsh. that is sometimes, you know, very truthful and saying, look, your crust is bad. You've made a bad crust. Like, they'll say it right to your freaking face. But, and so there's still that aspect of it, but it's constructive, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally is. Yeah,
it's hard. Exactly. I'm not trying to be Mr. Flowers all the time or whatever, but I really appreciate that quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you're watching it.
I really enjoy it. And I did the whole, like, the narration and stuff while I was baking, like, while I was making the cupcakes and the frosting yesterday. Mm-hmm. Tina's laughing her head off because I'm going, well, it looks like Brian forgot to put any sort of grease or preparation in the bottom of the pan. So those cupcakes are definitely going to stick.
And I really like the ladies. The two ladies are great.
Yeah. They're Joe and Mel.
Yeah, they're funny. I'm sure they have other things they do in Britain that I
Mary
don't know
Barry.
About. Mm-hmm. Mary Berry. Mary Berry, she is a withered up old raisin.
And
by,
she is.
By the way, the American one, we started watching that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, too.
Which just started, right?
Yeah, it's good, too.
So it's positive. It's an American reality show that is
way
positive.
It's straight up just like it. Like, it's almost like they carbon copied it, except, in fact, well, even the place that they do it out in the, like, weird field and stuff. Mm-hmm. Looks like the same one. Like, it's, they've really gone all out to make it very similar, and it was great. Like, it's really good. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe we liked this cooking show. But it's so good. It's really good. Anyway,
Ryan added a little bit too much butter to the frosting. That's definitely gonna cost him some points.
That's gonna ding him in this competition. All right, well, there's your recommendals.
Love it.
I hope you enjoy them.
Yeah, the only season, or only one season of Great British Bake Off is on Netflix, but...
I won't spoil winners, because I didn't want to be spoiled either. And
sure.
It came out in, like, 2011.
We adore, though, the 17-year-old girl in this in the Netflix season.
Oh, I was so protective of her that entire show.
Yes, totally, right? Because it's like, especially
now
you having
about.
Daughters similar, you know, in age. And,
and seeing her get so excited and then being... crestfallen if something didn't work out, and watching others help her. Oh, it just got me in the dad spot.
It didn't rise. It's okay. It's all right.
It's all right. It's fine.
Totally fine.
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm in over my head.
You're like, oh, I've had a 17-year-old daughter. I know how you feel.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, so good.
That's great. Netflix season one. That's a 2011 joint. So don't let anyone spoil you. Because there's been plenty since then, and I don't know why the rest aren't up there. I'd like the rest to be available.
Yeah, I don't know why either, but I have ways. I have connections.
All right. Oh, do you? British connections, do you?
British connections.
Do share when you get there. I'd like to get my whole family's like, we need the rest of it.
Oh, so you haven't seen any of the other seasons either?
No, because we don't know where to get them. I don't know where to get them.
Ooh.
I mean, I know I could probably pirate them, but that feels like antithetical to the nature of the show itself.
Right.
You know, like that's the mean. I would provide the mean
doing
part.
Some subversive method of getting the rest of the show.
Yeah.
You know what? Brian is using Pirate Bay. That's definitely going to cost him some points.
Up your bum.
Judges.
All right. Tom Maritime. Because it's so not my normal thing. But hey, man, whatever. Here's this. Let me play this right here. Hold on. Oh, where is it? Right there.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is Tom Merritt, from formerly of Illinois, now from the beautiful town of Los Angeles, California. Technology maven and Lord of Hosts.
Lord of Hosts? Wow.
I got all religious in here suddenly. Tom Merritt is here. Hi, Tom.
Hey, I've got a plan.
Oh, give it to me.
Plan for the man.
Whoa.
Right there.
I like the man with the plan. It's
from the Management Development Program of the U.S. Department of the Interior.
Oh, actually. Goodness.
1963.
Fantastic. That sounds all right.
Beware the happy specialist.
All right. I'm going to take your advice. It's Tom Merritt, comes on the show on Wednesdays, does the technology segment here on the show.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, hi.
Sorry, I'm late.
No, you're fine.
No, you're early, actually.
Yeah, we're sorry we're early. Yeah, we ended early. In fact, when I saw your thing was yellow, I went, oh, we're going to probably going to have the thing ringing. He's going to hear it from somewhere else in the house.
I came running down. Yeah.
Oops. Coffee. All over himself.
So much for Snapchatting that I would be on here, which was actually what I was doing.
Oh, were you really doing that?
I was like, about to head on the morning stream, and then I hear, doo, doo, doo.
What is with everybody in the Snapchat stories lately?
I guess it's a thing again.
I guess, but it's all my all the people I respect, people in my age demographic, they all suddenly are all up in this.
Oh, yeah, we're ruining it for the kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The kids hate it. So nice. So what
so
am
no,
I...
So no Peach for you, huh?
The Peach app. Have you not heard of
it? I remember Peach. It's like Clerk.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. We talked about that on DTNS on Friday with Peter Wells, like the overhype cycle that happens to these poor apps. I mean, Peach might still find its way somehow, but it got like ridiculously overhyped by the tech press and then, of course, declared dead before it had even had a chance to launch. Poor thing.
So what is it I'm missing? Like, what is it? Why? What's the resurgence? What's happening with Snapchat?
Well, with Snapchat, I credit a big part of its recent blooming to the New York Times story about DJ Khaled. He's a Snapchat star.
Yeah.
And so once they covered it, a lot of people are like, what is this Snapchat? How does he have so many followers? And he's really fun to follow. He's very positive. Mm-hmm. It's all about motivation and stuff. But even before that article hit, Justin Robert Young was one of the people who was really telling me like, hey, there's a bunch of people on Snapchat, you know, you follow people, you don't have to curate as much. You don't have to worry about lighting and stuff because it just disappears after 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to watch people's stories and see how they progress during the day. And it's very personal because it's video, but it's easy video and it's only 8 seconds long. So all of those things combine, I think, for the appeal. And then a little bit of publicity has made it kind of skyrocket a bit.
Yeah, I guess maybe I need to get back in the wagon. I used it for a while, but it was mostly just to flip Justin off.
Yeah, right. Well, and this reminds me of the really early days of Twitter. When I signed up for Twitter in January 2007, I used it for a month. And then I was like, I don't get it. There's no one there. Mm-hmm. There's no one to talk to. Mm-hmm. And then by CES time, by South by Southwest time, it started to come back. And I started to use it again because people were showing up. And I feel like that's a little bit what's happening with Snapchat is it has now come back to where like, oh, okay, you've actually got folks looking at your stuff and there's interesting folks doing different things on it to follow. I follow Grace Helbig, who I'm a big fan of anyway. Mm-hmm. And she only snaps maybe once or twice a day, but they're always funny and interesting. Sometimes they're just goofy. Sometimes they're promotional, but I don't know. There's an appeal to being able to watch someone but without a huge time commitment.
So there's one something something there clearly, and I'm hearing more and more about it, and you and Veronica and Eileen, obviously she's been the biggest proponent I've heard lately, seem to think it's the bomb. So now I feel like I'm late to the party again. Gotta get in there, start doing my stories. Hey guys, I'm brushing my teeth this morning. Check it out. A dog's got to go out and pee. He's not going to pee herself. Better go. I mean, it's that kind of stuff, I guess, right?
Well, it can be whatever you want. I think Ashley Paramore actually does a really good job. If you want to look at, follow her stories. And she's again doing the same thing that I was talking about Grace Helbig doing. Sometimes promotional, sometimes just her and the bird being goofy, but they're always fun to watch, and you never feel like, well, why did I waste my 8 seconds on that?
Yeah, I'll get in.
It's the same advice as Twitter in 2007. Follow a few interesting people, see what they do. You'll start to get it.
Okay, it'll start dawning on us, because it used to be just, hey, 7 seconds of my boobies. And then they're gone forever.
Well, and I think that's the old man problem, right? And I say that because I had that with Snapchat too. It's like, I don't get it. How do you follow someone on Snapchat? Aren't you just sending ephemeral messages to each other? Mm-hmm. And it was when they added my story, it took me a while to wrap my head around like, oh, okay. So I can look up people by username. And they have a little bit of Twitter's follow problem. In the early days of Twitter, remember, you had to actually know somebody's Twitter name and type it in to follow them. And Snapchat has a little bit of that going on too, which I think scares people off.
There's still no permanence, right? Like, this stuff lasts for a certain amount of time.
No, and that's the brilliance of it, right? You can send individual message still, and once they're viewed, they're gone. Although you can tap to replay once a day for free, and they make a little money getting people to tap to replay more than once. Mm-hmm. You can also put things in your story, but then they only last for 24 hours before they go away, unless you save them, which you have an option to press download and save this stuff for later.
So you can save it, but other people can't save your stories.
No, I don't think you can save other people.
Not implicitly as a user. Like, maybe there's a hackery way to do it, but right now,
sure.
There's
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, interesting. All right, I'm back in.
Yeah, but you seem like you're up on the Snapchat.
A little bit. I used to be, and I just reconnected and got a new thing saying our terms and conditions have changed, and so that should tell you how long it's been since I've used Snapchat. But Tristan used it a lot, and so I'd kind of get that from him and say, oh yeah, this will be kind of fun. And a buddy of mine, actually crazy next door neighbor Dave, was using it, and so he and I would send dirty Snapchats to each other. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, another thing you're probably not tapped. Yeah. Another thing you're probably not tapped into is Instagram has created a culture of pretty, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything should look ideal and perfect, right, and gorgeous.
Right, and filtered and,
like,
and right.
Yeah, exactly. And Snapchat is the relief from that. So if you haven't lived the Instagram thing, you probably don't care about the Snapchat thing. But if you're tired of the pressure of Instagram, which I know sounds a little silly, Snapchat is fun because it's like, who cares what it looks like? It's going away anyway.
Yeah, there's a Mad Max quality to that, for lack of a better term, that I like. And
I get to drive. Is that what you
mean? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Where's my steering wheel?
Well, anyway, it's probably not what you came here to talk about, though. You came here to talk about something else, or maybe you did. I don't know. What's the big technology?
Oh, man, that was a totally unintentional.
I was hoping to talk about Snapchat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, what's funny is that's a hot topic right now with Peach kind of having its rise and fall. And then Dave Roos, old friend of mine from Tech TV, is doing some freelance work for How Stuff Works, of all places, and was talking to me yesterday about a story he's doing about that sort of thing. So this kind of app social resurgence is on people's minds. But I was gonna go soft and fluffy today and talk about the report that came out yesterday. We didn't mention it on DTNS. You'll actually see why if you follow me on Snapchat, because I Snapchatted my entire DTNS prep yesterday. And if you don't follow me on Snapchat, you can get it on the DTNS YouTube channel, because I saved it out and then uploaded it there. But we didn't cover this report on the most common passwords that people use, and just how frightening it is.
This is like what the 2015 most common passwords or something?
Yeah. So this company called Splash Data, for the fifth year in a row, goes and looks at online leaks of passwords and then parses it through and figures out, like, okay, what are the most common passwords used by people? And the reigning champion returning at number one,
People just don't learn, do they?
Yeah. Why do you suppose that is? What is it that is in us that makes us do that? That makes us just go for the simple, stupid thing?
Because we're busy, you know? So. And if you're not thinking about password breaches all the time, you rationalize to yourself, like, well, it won't matter. It won't be me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or I don't care if my Peach password gets...
That might be the thing, right? Is that some of these, you know, it's for these things that, oh, great, Epicurious is asking for a password. Sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What do I care if somebody logs in and gets my recipes, the recipes I favorited? But
yeah, which I mean, you should care, because there are always unthought of vectors that people can use to be like, but once they got into Epicurious, then they found out that you use this kind of email address.
Yes, and then, you know, exactly. So. See the formats and see. Right. Exactly.
Wow. Well, by the way, if anyone wants to follow me on Snapchat, I'm at The Scott Johnson. So
the
I just Scott created Johnson. A new
I'm
one.
I'm still at Coverville.
I don't know my old one.
There's anybody looking for me.
There's too many other Scott Johnsons, so I chose The. Here's my password. 456. Ready?
Password 123.
but the folks who are fans of that kind of password are getting more savvy, because new on the list, number 12 with a bullet, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0.
Whoa! Hold on. Jeez. Okay, my mom is one of these people. Here's what she is now. So I've tried to get her to be more secure, and I said, Mom, whenever you sign up for these services, you've got to be more careful. You've got to use interesting characters. You've got to go some capitalization. I'm not going to have her full on do random, you know, generation numbers or anything, but I'm trying to get her to do something a little bit more obscure, because she was one that would always say, well, here's my name and my birthday.
Yeah.
Like, no, Mom,
we'll ever figure this
out. She'll go, well, no one else has. It's not like other people have that birthday. I'm like, Mom, that's not your, you know what? She doesn't understand. So she did all of that, and I was proud of her. I said, well, Mom, that's great. Now I was over at the house. I said, now what's your password to this? Oh, let me hold on a second. I'll go find out. And she goes to the other room. She comes in with this big laminated sheet of paper that normally is Velcroed to her wall that has all of the names of the services and big bold letters of what the passwords are on them. Which kind of is still better than where she was, but
definitely
it's not quite where I want her.
My mother-in-law has the sticky notes, both the virtual ones from the Apple program Sticky, or Sticky Notes, or whatever it's called, and every single password on every sticky note covering the desk that where she sits, where her computer is. So,
and I'll be honest, like these days, the writing it down on paper is not as bad as it used to be. It's not as high on the list of vulnerabilities as it used to be, especially for somebody like your mom who, like, if that's the way to get her to use a secure password, maybe that's better.
That's
it's not great. I get it. But it's all a matter of, like, what is better than what they were doing, right? That's why things like LastPass are rightly critiqued by folks, you know, like Darren and Shannon over at Hack5, because they're not secure in the fact that you've got all your eggs in one basket. And if you know, God forbid something happened in a breach at 1Password or LastPass, you're screwed. However, if it's that or 123456, then I think you've definitely upped the security. And yeah, maybe it shouldn't be laminated and stuck to the wall for everyone to see. But writing them down, putting them in a drawer is great. The virtual ones are the problem there, Ibit. Like that's the one someone could hack into her computer without being in her house and get.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Passwords, it's tricky business. I like two-factor authentication. But there are people who that gives a giant headache to. They hear that and they go, what? I need to remember a PIN, or I got to have a, a authenticator thing on my phone, or a fob, or whatever. I mean, until you lose your stuff, all of that sounds like a pain. The minute you lose it all, things get a little bit better. Tom, here's my big complaint. I have 1Password. I like it a lot. Like a
the
great
program.
The program.
Not just 1Password.
I have 1Password.
No, I have 1Password, the program.
It's password with a zero instead of an O.
I have 1Password. I like it a lot. But the I is an exclamation point.
Nefarious people just rushed to their keyboards to try to hack my 1Password.
Right.
No. It's I use 1Password, the program. I use it on devices and computers, and I've been very, very happy with it. But occasionally something will happen. I have a very randomized, complex password for Netflix, for example. For me to enter that into a set-top box, a Roku or something, is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So what I've been forced to do is simplify on those a little bit and be picky about which ones I'm giving hard passwords to, knowing, well, okay, these are on either apps that support 1Password on phones or tablets, or on the computer where the plugin's working or whatever, or I can quickly copy and paste. I'll keep those big and complicated. But for these things where I need to access it with these devices with remotes for input devices, I can't do it. It's too much. And you screw up.
You should do it. I mean, as your technical advisor, you should do it anyway, because it's only a few more seconds. But I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They need to make that simpler. I don't know what
especially the new Apple TV remote.
Yeah.
Trying to enter in a password with that thing.
It's a nightmare. And here's the thing with the Apple TV. If they would just, and maybe there's a way to do this and I'm stupid, didn't know it. But if there was a way for me to say, hey, can I just airplane my keyboard?
Yeah, you can. You do it with your phone.
You can?
Yeah, you use your phone or
a
remote.
Do it with the old Apple TVs, and now I'm blanking on whether the firmware update has been applied, but it wasn't there for the new Apple TV at launch. It is going to be there if it's not
there. It's there on mine. I just got Apple TV a couple weeks ago.
All right, well then maybe when I got it, it didn't have it. Maybe now
it does. No, it didn't. The new Apple TV didn't have it at launch, and that was annoying.
Yeah.
You can do Bluetooth keyboard as well.
Oh, well, shite. Never mind then. I'm fine. Let's do complicated passwords. Everything's fine.
Yeah, but it's still like I'm trying using a Nexus 5X this month, and just setting it up, you know, irrespective of what you think of Android or anything else, I'm like, oh crap, I got to put in passwords for everything again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a critique of the phone or the platform or anything. It's just anytime you have a brand new device that isn't just syncing over, even sometimes when you're syncing over, it's like, oh, I got to put all the passwords in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you're supposed to change change some passwords regularly, or all your passwords regularly.
If you have two-factor authentication, I feel like that's entirely unnecessary.
Sure.
Even without two-factor authentication, as long as you're not using the same password everywhere, it's probably not necessary to change your password too frequently. I've seen Bruce Schneier and people write some stuff arguing that that's unnecessary and actually can cause more avenues for breaches because people can't remember their passwords and then write them down or keep them on sticky notes in their computer and stuff.
So. Now, do you think, there was a breach, not breach, but there was a rash this morning of Skype people in my Skype list that had been hacked.
Mm.
And I think they were all, one of them was actually Brian Brushwood's old NSFW account.
Oh, yeah.
and a couple other people, and I noticed all these fake links, and I think Jocelyn was one. She sent me a thing saying, this wasn't me, I was hacked, everything's
fine.
Oh,
that was, well, yeah, they got this one one this morning or yesterday from Jocelyn.
Yeah.
And she got hacked.
Is that typically that. A thing of bad?
Why didn't Jocelyn's hacker send me the link?
Why not get your...
yeah, why not get your hack?
I'm in your contacts.
But why? What is that? Probably that this sort of weak password kind of problem.
I haven't looked into it, so it could be.
It's hard to say.
It could be somebody guessing a password or finding a list of passwords that are used commonly. Mm. Yeah, there's all kinds of reasons.
Yeah.
Why it could be.
As far as I know, I've never had.
It could also just be malware on people's machines.
Yeah.
That then hijacks Skype.
Yeah.
Without, you know, needing the password.
I mean, the worst part of all of this is if somebody held a gun to your head and put you in a warehouse and put a spotlight on you and said, "Give us your password." There's some passwords I've used in the past where I could give them to them. They're really good. I've never been hacked. They've always been very strong and use a lot of things that make them strong.
Yeah.
But I'd still give it up if he's pulling my toenails off, right? If you use one password or some kind of password generation thing, you couldn't do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just kill you.
Well, I even use... I split the difference. Some of my accounts I do keep in a password manager. Some I don't. Yeah. And I'm not quite as far as Darren Kitchen, who doesn't keep anything in a password manager. Mm-hmm. But I do use a mnemonic, but the mnemonic is set up, and I don't even want to go into too many details, to where I couldn't tell you the password unless I'm logging into it. Mm. So I guess you could put a gun to my head and stick a keyboard and a laptop in front of me, and then I give it to you because I don't want to get shot.
Well, there you go.
I'm not trying to be brave.
No.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The trick is to come up with a system that keeps your passwords different, hard to guess, and easy to remember. And man, that's difficult.
Yeah, that's three-factor confusion is what that is. One final Snapchat note before we send Tom on his way and talk about what's coming up later on DTNS. I used to have a Snapchat account that I had a fake name on. Because back when I first got it, this just gives you some of the mindset. When I first got it, I felt a little weird about it. Because
that's how you sent your wiener pictures, right?
Yeah, it's how you'd send boobies and wieners.
Yeah, whenever you would see some dumb person or eat a hot dog.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That's exactly it. And so, but there was so much like media, or not, this is kind of a media circus around that app going, oh, it's what the teens are using to sext each other. But then I had grown adults saying, hey, this is a great way for us to communicate. And I just felt a little weird about it. So I had this fake name. It was all very clandestine because I didn't want to, like, later down the road, somebody would go,
really?
The founders of Snapchat have been arrested. anyone who used it is also a douche. Like, here's
so
a list.
So you fell for the hype.
Yeah, I did.
You totally fell for the hype.
Because
that was said of the internet when it launched and news groups and then and pretty much and text messaging at one point.
And Twitter and everything. They all get, and you're totally not wrong. Like, I fully accept me being the Bantha Poodoo on this subject.
Well, let me thank you, prequel. Let me just say for the audience, for everyone listening, signing up for a service does not implicate you in what other people might use the service for. And if this helps, every service you're signed up for is used for sex in some way by somebody somewhere.
Yeah. That's the deal, right?
It's rule 32.
Somebody's using.
Then I'm proud of my RedTube subscription.
Yeah. Red. Yeah.
If you're signing it up for the articles.
Yeah, I signed up for YouTube's new RedTube subscription. Yeah, sure. The new RedTube. It's been fantastic.
I mean, seriously, YouTube, come on.
Yeah, your wife works there, don't forget.
Nobody brought that objection up. Or if they did, no, someone decided not to listen to it.
Yeah, right? I can't even imagine.
Thing, is it? No.
It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. They're overloaded on pizza and beer and...
Let me be clear. My wife is the production manager at YouTube Space LA and had nothing to do with the discussions around the naming of YouTube.
Well, good. You should be proud. All right. Today, 2:30 Mountain Time. That's when DTNS happens. I'll be there. We have a guest today. Do we?
Yeah. Luria Petrucci, a.k.a. Callie Lewis, is launching an online learning center called Geeks University from her Geeks Life site. So she's going to come on and join us and talk to Scott and I about some of the things she's learned launching that and the state of online education and how what resources people can use, you know, besides just her own for learning things online and the state of online education, probably overstating it, but we'll talk to her a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be good. And I've meant to, for many years in podcasting, finally have an excuse to get all Cali Lewis up in this joint, and now we get to do
really?
It.
You've never been on a show?
Not once. It's not.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
I know. Yeah. We never just figured it out. We know of each other. There's always been some mutual respect there, and everyone I know knows her, and you know the whole. We're all insiders in this thing sometimes, but it just never happens. So here's our chance.
Yay.
It'll be great.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Tom bringing podcasters together since 2004. Nice. All right. Tom, Merritt, anything else going on before we send you loose?
Just a reminder that Citadel 32 is discounted now. If you haven't picked it up yet, you can get the ebook from Kindle at $2.99. There's also free versions of it, tommerrittbooks.com. And I got a couple more in the hopper. On the way.
Yeah. And if you're a subscriber to the Current Geek box that we put out every month, our subscription box, you'll be thrilled to know some things that are coming in there soon. So.
Right. There's an extended universe Citadel 32 like booklet that will be in one of the future boxes.
You might call them tales of the aggregate.
Yeah. There will be actual tales, multiple tales from the aggregate.
Yeah.
Aggregated together.
Tales
of the aggregate.
Aggregate. All right. Well, there you go then.
I got a little aggregate.
Yeah, a little aggregate. You got to be careful. Don't eat the yellow snow, it turns out.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you later today, and have the best day you can on Snapchat.
Bye, y'all.
Bye now.
See ya.
That's my story.
Yeah.
So, Brian, I'm going to do a story real quick.
Let's just do this.
Here we go. It's a Snapchat. Right. I've opened it up. Let's see. So, here I am doing a podcast with Brian Ibbett on the morning stream, and, well, that's my story. All right, so now I'm going to submit it.
And you're sticking to it.
Yeah, and I'll put that in my story. I hit send. I suppose it's up there now.
Yeah, sure is.
All right,
there you go. You've done it.
24 hours.
You've Snapchatted.
The Scott Johnson. Go get it. It's pretty hot. All right. Brian, a couple emails, or calls, actually, and then we're out of here.
Okay.
I'm going to play. I'm going to play this one. From a listener who would
like curry all of a sudden.
I know, I'm losing my mind. This is from a listener who wants to correct us on some medical stuff. So here you go.
Hey Scott, Sister Talking here from the Tadpole. I just wanted to issue a quick correction on one of your episodes called Meat Face, I believe it was. You mentioned that antidepressants are not addictive. Slight correction here. They are. I'm actually on Zoloft. I try to go off of it, and it pretty much wrecked my life. It may not be addiction in the real sense, but it is a highly dependent drug, enough to where if you run out, you're told to go to a pharmacy and ask for more, and they will issue you some. So, you know, just quick correction, since I'm in the know. So I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. So I did some looking into this. There are various classes of antidepressant drugs. He's right in saying that they're not addictive, but you can create a physical dependency that can be real rough if you try to wean yourself off. Zoloft, Paxil, I think is the other one. I talked to someone who knows, he's a pharmacist. Those in particular, real rough when you go off those. No question about it. But there is a whole range of others. The good old standard Prozac. I can't remember the others. There's some other names that I can't think of right now. That are much, much, much more mild than that, and usually there's not much of a withdrawal problem when you get off of those. So he's right and he's wrong. I mean, he's right about his experience for sure, and Zoloft is a rough one. But Zoloft includes things or has things in it that are chemically different than some of the more basic stuff. And all I was talking about was the basic stuff. So anyway, the idea of it being an addiction versus a dependency, those are kind of two different things sometimes.
Sure.
And dependency depends on your ability to withstand whatever withdrawal symptoms may come along with something. And everyone's chemistry is different, so it can totally vary across the board. But I had a fun conversation with a working pharmacist who helped me understand how, you know, what the differences are. As usual, it's never simple. It's always complicated.
Right.
Here's another call about Star Wars.
Hey, Scott. This is Chris, the Exterminator from Philadelphia. Got a quick thought about Star Wars. How quickly do you guys predict that this movie will be out on video or DVD? DVD rather. I'm thinking maybe end of February, beginning of March, but possibly waiting until July even before we see it out on DVD. What are your guys' thoughts? Take care.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think as early as March for sure.
Summer.
Yeah.
Summer at the earliest, because they've
And actually, I think he corrected himself. I actually think saying when is it going to be out on video is probably better than saying DVD, because most people buy Blu-rays, or a lot of people buy
Blu-rays. You say video now, it's not, you're not saying VHS, you're just saying video. Well, what's the video format of du jour? Well, it's Blu-ray, and it's some, in some cases, DVD. So I think saying video is better and more encompassing. So say that.
Right, and there's no... Yeah, even Amazon doesn't have like a... They've got pre-order,
yeah,
but they don't have any sort of...
Guaranteed, they milk it for as long as they can in theaters. Why wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's still number two.
Absolutely.
Or waffling between one and two. That Ride Along 2 took over for a weekend, but that's not going to last. Ride Along 2 is terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Just briefly.
Oh, awesome.
Well, people like that little short... What's his name? Little short comedian? Cricket...
Not Chris Tucker.
Cricket. Yeah, Cricket.
What is his name?
Flurbit. I don't remember. I'm looking it up. It's Ice-T or Ice Cube and then the other guy. Ice Cube.
What is that guy's name?
He
was just on the Oscars with Kevin Hart. Yeah,
Kevin
thanks.
Hart. There you go.
Pumba. You guys.
Yeah, Pumba. That's it. He was the monkey. All right. Let's go to this call about Disney and why he hopes they don't shut everything down for Star Wars.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Robbie from California. And I know you guys were just talking about Disneyland and how they're getting out all the Big Thunder Ranch stuff and moving in all the Star Wars Land stuff. And believe me, I couldn't be more excited for Star Wars Land. But you were saying, you know, oh, Big Thunder Ranch, get rid of it. Kill it, get rid of it. And for the most part, I think that's true. Except the Big Thunder Ranch barbecue is probably one of, if not my favorite place in Disneyland. It's always have like birthday dinners there and stuff, and my family. It's this like awesome, amazing, delicious barbecue place that's tucked in the back that no one knows about. And it's like all you can eat, you know, wings and all this great, great, great stuff. That I am very sad they're getting rid of. But everything else, get rid of it. But I thought you guys should at least know what that is before it's off. All right?
All right. So what do you think? Keep the barbecue?
Keep the barbecue. Make it Bantha barbecue. Just like move it, you know, keep the restaurant, but just rebrand it to fit with the Star Wars stuff.
Well, you know what the best part of the Bantha is when you barbecue, right?
The ribs.
I would suggest then that old popular holiday favorite, the Bantha rump.
The Bantha rump.
Oh, Bantha rump,
the
sure.
Bantha rump. That's its ass. Also, I swear he said all you can eat wangs, not wings.
So, yeah, I'm sure that's what
they'll
said,
shut that down. All right, here's one about this final one about a call that didn't work. Well, this is just a call that didn't work, and I just want to let people know that sometimes when you call, this happens. I'd play your call if I could understand it, but this is all I got.
Hey.
Heard him.
So whoever that was, if you could make that out, just so you know your call, it's not that I didn't play it. I literally couldn't understand it.
Right.
So if you want to call back.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Call back. Hey.
I like that we do get a hey. And that's it.
801-471-0462 is that number. You can call it and leave us messages anytime. 801-471-0462. Or you can send your emails and attachments to themorningstream@gmail.com. A reminder, if you'd like to be a bigger part of the community and join our Patreon, it's easy to do. We're not asking for much. It's at patreon.com/TMS. It helps this show exist. You can be a part of the brand new Slack group where any patrons get to go in there and hang out. And that place is stacking up fast. Pert near 1,000 so far.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Cool.
So come on in and be a part of that, please. Frogpants.com/TMS is the link to all things that I've mentioned here, plus more. Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morningstream are our Twitter accounts. You can find us on Reddit, frogpants.reddit.com. And all the episodes are up on YouTube after, and you can put your feeds in your Android and iOS podcasting apps. There's so many ways to get the show, it almost hurts me to say it. All right, Brian. Oh, even Stitcher. You can even get it on Stitcher.
Get it on Stitcher.
Where they crap up the sound quality. I hate it. Do you hate that? I hate that. They crank it down to like 64K.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I haven't heard anything about that. Well, that would suck for my show, for music.
Yeah. If you haven't heard your show on there for a while, check it out and you'll be like, what are they doing?
Oh.
It makes me mad, but whatever. What can you do?
Yeah.
Brian, let's get out of here with music, please.
Okay. Greetings, Scott and Brian. Longtime listener and first-time requester here. Over the last several months, my family has had to deal with several rounds of bad news. In August, my wife lost her job and her grandmother on the same day. And in September, we learned that my uncle was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma, which is brain cancer. It seemed that the bad news was just going to keep rolling in and left us all in a very dark spot. This week, after months of searching, my wife has found a job doing what she loves. She's excited and thankful for the new opportunity, and the company seems genuinely excited to have her as well. Plus, my uncle has completed his first round of chemo, and we found out earlier this week that his tumor has shrunk by 70%. The record-breaking $1.5 billion lottery last week, I feel that my family is far more fortunate for the fortune we did receive. In celebration of this, I would like to request a cover of I Can See Clearly Now as a celebration of coming out of the darkness and the past several months we've been mired in. Of course, if all else fails, a little ditty that includes poultry, cheese, and pork would also suffice.
Where is that now? It's right here.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Such a dark tale. I wasn't sure we were ever going to get to that.
Love the show, though, Chris. P.S. Congrats on 5 years, which is coming up, what, this week?
Holy shit. We better check that.
I know.
Hold on a second. Oh, my gosh.
I didn't think about it either until he just said that. I was like, oh, yeah, we might.
1/24/2011. Okay. So we have until.
So Monday is going to be our. Right. There we go. The 25th is going to be our anniversary.
Monday's our anniversary, and I don't know what we're doing. We're doing anything special at all, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
We just make this show, man. We just come here and we crank the sausage out. I don't know what we're going to do.
We just make eyes.
I promise we'll do something.
We make eyes.
We'll make somebody make a big mashup, or I don't know. We'll do our favorite things at the time, or we'll figure something out anyway.
Perfect.
Yeah.
How about a cover of I Can See Clearly Now? This one's fun. It is by that favorite Japanese ska group of mine, the Beat Crusaders. This is from their 2005 album, Music Crusaders. It's a cover of a song originally done by Johnny Nash, although a lot of people like to attribute it to Jimmy Cliff. No, Johnny Nash did the original, although Jimmy Cliff's version is pretty iconic. Here are the Beat Crusaders and their cover of I Can See Clearly Now.
Good.
of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You sawed-off sadistic bastard?